Attention, please. Places for top of show. Places for top of show. Hello, and welcome to Twins Talk Theater. We are Cindy.
And Stacy.
And we're talking about theater, backstage life, and all the excitement that the audience doesn't get to see.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Twins Talk Theater. Today, I've brought on with us Tracy Hoffman, who I actually met at CCM, I think it was 2006. Tracy was a second-year grad student, I believe. I was a first-year grad student. We were never on the same show together because of that, so I never really got to talk to Tracy. So she was actually in the Navy for 20 years, retired from the Navy to become a stage manager, because I guess that's a natural progression for some people. Instantly went to CCM, and now works all over the place as an assistant stage manager, mostly in opera. She's currently at Washington National Opera, and I just did a show with her, Opera Philadelphia. So, Tracy, my first topic of discussion, can you tell us a little bit about how you became, how you decided to become a stage manager? You told us this story in Philadelphia, and it was super awesome and one of my favorite stories ever. So I keep wanting you to repeat it to everybody else.
Sure, but Cindy, I think maybe we should take it back just a step further, because my involvement in theater really started at a very young age.
Right.
I was a CCMer from early days of life. So when I was, 10, my mother decided I needed to get out of my shell, so to speak. And so she sent me to a creative dramatics class where basically for me, it was a Saturday with my friends. We got to hang out and, play, pretend, kind of make things up and go along. And my claim to fame for this is that in the advanced class was Sarah Jessica Parker and her brothers. So
you have some connections there.
Yeah. Not that she would remember me, but there you go. So I did that all through grade school and high school. I loved theater. I was always involved at some point. And then you grow up and your parents say, no, you can't do that. You have to get a real job.
Been there, done that. Yep.
Right. So that's what I did. And once I got in the Navy, then it just kind of was not possible to stay in it because of just travel commitments. And I wasn't able to stay involved in theater in any sense. So 20 years later, getting out of the Navy, what are you going to do? I take a class. Meanwhile, I'm posting things up on the wall. What am I going to do? I'm going to be a postman. I'm going to be a school teacher, beach bum.
that one pays quite good.
It does. So I took a class for transition and where they made you write commercials for yourself. What are you're trapped on an elevator for 30 seconds with somebody, sell yourself, try to get the job.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. So we did all these things, and one of our homework assignments was to come in and talk about your ideal job and basically sell yourself for why you should be doing that. And I had no idea what I was going to talk about, and I put it off and put it off and put it off until finally I said, great, I'm a facility engineer, basically. I like theater, so there you go. I'm going to be a facility manager of a theater somewhere. And that's basically what I talked about. I did this talk about my ideal job as me in a theater somewhere. And the result was all these people saying to me, oh my gosh, you just physically changed. You know, it went from this very straight-laced, pan-faced, angry German, full theater person.
And as you were talking about this.
Yeah, so that kind of just stuck with me. And I thought, well, maybe I should pursue that.
So was this a class the military offered or an outside class?
No, it was with the military. Pretty much whenever some length of stay, they try to get you through what they call a transition class to try, because it is, there's lifestyle changes and you're going from having this job in the military where you behave a certain way to
civilian life,
outside community. So how are you going to behave out there? How are you going to get a job? Because in the military, you don't have to sell yourself to get a job. You know, they tell you, you're going to go here and this is what you're going to do. And that's what you do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know about that. I mean,
yes.
When Cindy and I studied in London, when they were ready to send us back home, the last week they did a plan on how to adjust to be in America, much time adjusting being back in America. But that makes sense. Like, we love London.
We didn't want to come back to America.
Well, exactly. But
I love London. I did that too. I lived in London for 2.5 years. Did you know that?
We only were there for 4.5 months and we didn't want to come home. So it was an adjustment to come home. So getting out of the military after 20 years, like, that's a substantial amount of time. Yeah, what do you do? Where do you go? Who? Nobody's telling you this place. You live in this place. You're moving in 2 weeks to this place. You have to, like, figure all those things out. So, cool.
Yeah.
So then what did you decide after that? So then you were saying that you, or like, what made you choose CCM and stage management?
Right. So some of the things that I did in preparation for my retirement were read all those fancy books, you know, what are they called? What colors your shoot? And I studied myself, might say. And I decided, all right, if I'm going to pursue this thing, I was thinking theater, right? The actual building itself. And I went to the head of the theater department at the University of Kentucky, who spent a long time for somebody in that position. She spent, how would I go about getting into school? And she opened my eyes to stage management. She said, yeah, you probably don't want to do that theater thing with that, because that requires all the schmoozing and trying to get money and all the administration, which she could tell from talking to me, I didn't like. So
very different.
Exactly. Anyway, so she's the one that mentioned the stage management thing. Read a book, get a job, anybody will take you. You're stage manager, lickety split. I'm like, well, maybe not. That's not my path. So I lived in Cincinnati at the time. That's where I grew up. So CCM has this great opera program, great musical theater program, and they have to have the production values as well. So maybe I'll go talk to them. And I was really just went in terms of networking, of what do I need to know? You know, this says you need to have a portfolio. Well, one, I just retired from the Navy, and I don't even know what stage management is, so I don't have a portfolio.
So how do I get one of those?
And still now, it's 10 years later, I don't know what kind of a portfolio you have as a stage manager. That just seems kind of ludicrous to me. Here's a piece of paper. But anyway, that's kind of what I did. I just went up and talked to her about where I first met Michelle Kay up there, and we spoke about what the program was, what it would involve, how I would go about it as a grad student, admissibility, things like that. And so the conversation transitioned from tell me about this program and what you study and how you become a stage manager to maybe I could do that. Yeah.
So do you agree?
I do. I have a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering and a Master's in Science of Financial Management.
Wow.
No, well, it's my past, right? So I studied engineering, went in the Navy, got my master's while I transitioned. But if you think about it, as a manager in the military, so I was engineer doing facility management, construction management types of work, do budgets, and you're having to figure out what work needs to be done and who can do it and what are the priorities. So you're managing other people in a system, which ultimately is the same as a stage manager does. So the skill sets are very similar to management in any industry. You just have to learn the new language, basically. Mm-hmm. New language, new culture. Obviously, it's a bit more laid back in our environment.
It's slightly different, yeah. I don't think people outside quite understand just... It's a different world we live in the theater world. We talk differently to each other. We act differently. We have usually different ideas about things. Most theater people have the same basic understanding of that. So then CCM is big in opera. Did you have connection to opera before that?
Not at all. In fact, I was one of those people who used to just make fun of opera.
And yeah, just stand there and sing.
Yeah, so... I, as part of the program, Michelle made us do each of the different kinds of, right? So she assigned us to straight plays. And so that's what I did. And then when it was time to, you know, 150,000 resumes to everybody in the United States I got offered a position with Castleton for that one that summer. It was the second summer they did shows down there. So we did Beggar's Opera at Castleton. They needed a servant to deliver a tray of drinks or something. And of course, that would be me with big black glove on, handing this tray out through the side door, hoping I wouldn't shake and make it fall down. That was great.
So did, because you do opera, I know Cindy learned, or we knew music before, but Cindy's much better at reading music. As an assistant stage manager, do you, or just as a stage manager, did you have to learn to read music? Like, how does that work?
I was like most Americans, I think. You had a little chorus class or something as a child. So I had some rudimentary reading music skills, whether it's just the church choir. So I had no theory or anything like that. And through school, skills start improving a bit, and you see how important they are. And the language, if you're going to do this, you need to improve. So you go out and you get a book that teaches you how to read music better, and you sign up for piano lessons. And you just, but over the years, my skills have definitely improved, but nothing like they are for people who have been playing piano since they were 12. That's.
But, you know, you have learned enough to do Philip Glass. I don't think a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, I don't think it would take me a long time to follow that. I haven't had to do music because I'm not a stage manager. I'm a technical director. Like, obviously, Cindy and I grew up together. It would be weird if we didn't. And then she took she took piano, and I didn't take piano, but before that, we did all the same music stuff, but now her knowledge of music and speaking to musicians and being able to follow it is way past, because I haven't had to do it. I don't think I've had to follow her since, like, probably college. So definitely the practice does a lot and brings you a long ways. And if you don't have to do it, then that's
all you need to know.
True. Well, that's a good transition, because I wanted you to just talk a little bit about, like, what you do as an assistant stage manager, and why an assistant stage manager, I mean, I know why, but why it's important in rehearsal, because I think it's actually a bad title for it, because we're not, well, a lot of people think you're assisting the stage manager, but really it's a whole different job, really different than stage management. So what that you do as a stage manager, why is it important?
Well, I think there are three phases to the job. The first phase is the prep week, which, if you're lucky enough to have one, prep 2 days, whatever it happens to be, where we have to get the plans and figure out what the set's going to look like and tape it out on the floor so that the singers have a place to stand and know the geometry of the stage, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, are there steps? Are there balconies? Are there different elevations? What's it going to feel like? How do they have to move on it?
Yeah, so many times I'm like, you just popped off a 5-foot platform.
Yeah. The response I always get when I say something like that is, they'll know it's a real wall when it's there.
Yeah, yeah, they'll true.
And then there's having props ready. At Washington National, we're very, very lucky to have, almost always, we have the actual props in rehearsal.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, because my experience is when you don't, then whatever you end up in rehearsal with is what the director falls in love with, and then you're stuck with it.
Right. Yeah, spent hours finding this prop, and now you don't want it? You want that piece I pulled from the prop room? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Right. So anyway, the prep week is really good. It gives us a chance to get ahead of the paperwork game. And to make sure we have costumes ready for rehearsal if we think there's something that's important that we need to have a rehearsal stand in, or props if we have to track those down. We have to organize them in advance if we're lucky. Smaller companies, obviously, you're not going to get that time to do that, and you just kind of do it on the fly.
Yeah.
But then that rehearsal period is really important, because what we're doing is we're learning the show just like everybody else, but we're doing two things. One, we're prepping paperwork for when we get in the theater, and then we're in the room working to make sure that if they stop for example, they're working through a scene and there are a ton of props and costumes, then we're going to start at measure 32 or whatever, then we have to know what did the stage look like at measure 32? Where were the props? Do we have to move them? Do we have to take that flashlight and give it back to this person? Or was the phone already thrown against the wall or whatever random thing they do while they're on stage?
Mm-hmm. We have literally to write everything down as it's all of the prop movements and costume movements down as they're happening. So you know how to put it all back at a certain time.
That's exactly right. And that's for us in rehearsal room just to do that. But then if there's things that come on and off, so a principal singer has to come off the stage and, with a spear and then turn around and go back on 30 seconds later, then we know we have to annotate in the paperwork that our props guy needs to be there to catch that spear from them.
Right.
So we're doing that paperwork so that when we get to the theater, crew knows what's going to happen because they've never seen the show before and they need to know, where do I put the props to go stage left? Where does it have to be on stage? And where do I have to be in 4 minutes into the show, or can I go take a smoke break?
I feel like that's a very important one because I work on the technical side, and so I don't sit through rehearsals. I go through the first day of rehearsal and meet everyone. I sit through the designer run and tech. And so if there's no paperwork or I haven't gotten it from the stage manager or whoever, people are like, well, how come the scene change didn't happen? Well, how would I know there's a scene change here? Like, somebody's got to tell me. It's like second time I've seen this show and my crew's never seen the show. I don't know what happens next. I don't know somebody's supposed to be on stage, right, to help an actor change a wig. So it's very important that you guys do that stuff because there's no time during tech. Usually we have like 4 days on my side to do actors on stage with costumes and lights. And
right. That's an ideal world when you're doing new productions. Well, I remember doing a new version of something. I don't know. I think maybe it was The Force of Destiny or something. I'm not sure. But it was not a remount. It was a new production. And so things changed all the time. Like, no, we want to do it differently here. We want to do it differently there. And so you show up and it's like, you think this is what we're doing? More information tomorrow. Just be ready.
Yeah, but at least you have paperwork to start with. I mean,
there's
one thing to change it, and there's one thing to walk in and be like, well, we got a set.
You can walk into tech and not have a set.
That's true.
That would be even worse, I think.
Exactly. So what kind of paperwork, you say paperwork, and what kind of paperwork do you do? What do you create?
Tracy has
what are
the
titles?
Beautiful paperwork. Everyone at Philadelphia was jealous of Tracy's paperwork.
Look, this is the kind of work a stage manager does. They just don't sit there and stare at their book during rehearsal.
And highlight things.
Yeah, and call breaks. That's, I think, all Cindy does is call breaks and stare at her book.
Yep.
That's, yeah. I'm the props liaison on this show. So we track every prop, every set dressing piece, not flowers attached to the wall, but you need to have whatever's dressed out on that table or dressed out on the dining room.
Anything that might move during the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Even though it's not intended to be picked up and used, if it's there, we track weaponry and consumables, if they're eating food or drinking water, whatever that happens to be. And we list it all out on an inventory. We give a brief name of it. We give a description so the next people, if they should ever do the show, when they read the inventory list, they can kind of start to picture it in their brain. We say, when is it used and who is the character that uses it? Everybody, and those of final product so that you actually have that in the archive. And then we do a running sheet, for lack of a better word. It starts with top of show presets. Where is everything that you listed on that inventory has to start somewhere. Where is it? Even if we don't use it till act three, I don't care where you keep it. As long as I know where to find it to check to make sure it's in the theater. We'd have then a diagram of the set with anything that said item. Because the singers get very used to, if they have to pick up a glass to drink it and it's got a handle, it needs to be in exactly the same orientation. And so we have to draw a picture or take a picture so that the crew knows that level of detail. And then it goes into the mundane at 10 minutes and 30 seconds in on stage left in L4. You need to receive this beer from the singer, track it around to stage right. And if there's nothing that happens, it's really easy paperwork. And if you have all kinds of things coming on and off, it can get really complex very quickly. And we do that for the entire show. And then what happens at intermission? Do things need to get struck? Do they need to reset? That's the big money document right there.
Mm-hmm. So you say that you mostly do props as an ASM or do other ASM jobs, like other multiple ASMs?
Sure. Yeah. One or two or three, it doesn't matter. The job's still there to do it. And the other side of the house is the costume liaison, which does exactly the same thing, a costume perspective. First entrance sheet, every single person, what time do they go on and what character are they dressed? So that the wigs and makeup people know how to schedule the wig and makeup for dressing. You know, do you need to come in an hour and a half beforehand to get these people on, or can you get these people on a half hour, and then once the curtain goes out, you still have 45 minutes to do the rest of the people. And that helps coordinate their scheduling from that. And then they do for costume changes. They do a costume for every person who's in the show. What costume are they wearing in every scene?
And literally like down to undergarments. So it usually literally lists every single piece of clothing that you put on body for every single costume.
Sometimes you wear the costumers, the wardrobe people or costumes beforehand will do a dressing list with that level of detail. But if not, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Because some actors can be four or five different characters, or just during a show, they have to change costumes that often. So
do they have 30 seconds to make that change or do they have an hour? Mm-hmm. It's kind of critical. You know, and if it's 30 seconds, where are they going to do it off stage? Now you have to clear path. And so that's why
it gets fun.
Yeah, well, yes.
Until how come nobody told me there needed to be a quick change booth.
Yeah.
That's why you need to hire a pair of them for you.
Yep, that would be nice. So then, as an assistant stage manager, do you have a preference whether you do costumes or whether you do set changes or props or anything like that? Or are you fluid on doing whatever job is open, whatever? I guess it's not job. Yeah, assigned. Or do you like, I like props. Can I please always do props?
No, I think it's good to mix it up a little. It keeps your brain flexible, I think. You get kind of stuck in doing one thing. Then when it's time to do the other, you're like, what? No.
What paperwork was I supposed to do again? How does this work?
I think that's a very big difference between opera and musicals versus straight plays is we don't have, I don't work in much opera anymore. We don't have timings in straight plays or musicals.
I've done timing in both.
In straight plays?
Somewhat.
But you can't like...
Yeah, but you and Tracy might have done it differently, but at CCM, and I never had to do it at UOP, but we would literally like on final room run, you take timings because by then they kind of have a rhythm and a pattern and the way they say lines are usually about the same. So on final room run, you do timings because you don't need to know exactly, but you do need to know like this scene's going to be 5 minutes or this scene's 20 minutes long, you know?
Usually the timings I get are... Act 1 is 1 hour and 10 minutes, and Act 2 is 45 minutes. And I'm like, there's a scene change. When is it? Right. I don't know. After this scene change. Yeah. They sing two songs. That's how long it is.
True.
Yeah.
Because you don't...
I used to do it for, like, end of pages. So when I did two straight shows at CCM, it wasn't, like, every 30 seconds, but I would follow along with a stopwatch during the final room run. And at the bottom of each page, just put a time on it. So we knew about how the page was.
Yeah, I did similarly. But if I needed to, I would just read. I mean, I would just read the play out loud and boom, you got timings. They're mine, but whatever.
That's true.
At least it's a place to start.
Yeah, because it's a crew, and you're like, you have to be stage left. When? After you're done with this section, stage right? It could be 5 minutes. It could be 30 seconds. I don't know. I haven't. Exactly. In straight plays, it's just not done very often. Like, we definitely don't have the timings. Just that musicals are great because I'm like, there's three songs being and your next move. So,
yeah, certainly the advantage of here is that there are multiple people, so we can do these things. But you know, if you're just a stage manager with nobody to help you, you're not going to do it. Because right, yeah. You got other things,
props and costumes and time the score all, you know, while giving line notes. You know, it's just not going
to
happen.
Right, you have to prioritize what you can do.
Yeah. So my next question, because we've kind of been talking about this on a few different podcasts, is what do you find it a huge difference working in a found or experimental space versus working in a traditional theater? And do you have a preference?
But it's funny that because I have a reputation here with at least one of my colleagues that I don't like to repeat things. So doing the same thing in a same theater time and time again is just boring for me. I want new and different. I want exciting. And so I was really doing this found space, working in the museum with all of its challenges. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what makes stage management exciting, is that there is going to be something that has to be resolved, and you're the person right there,
right,
to do it.
So that's a fun task. Yeah.
And luckily, Cindy has a calm demeanor. So when I'm going to fly off the cuff on somebody, she can just go take over and solve it in a peaceful way.
Yeah, Tracy literally, I think, she walked into me in the green room and she was like, Cindy, I need you to explode at them. So I'm going to stay in here and you go talk to them and just let me know when it's all done.
That is excellent.
Okay, Tracy, I'll go take care of it.
Give me 5 minutes. And I go outside and I'm like, I don't care what hour it is. Twin's going to answer the phone. Because I need to come to someone who's going to understand. And then I will go back inside and try to deal with these people. And Cindy's going to be like, okay, they are, you know, new at this. They don't know what's happening. And I'm like,
I think we had to say that to each other. They don't have a lot of experience. They're, well, I think that was his excuse. I don't really remember. But they've never done this before. So they're not used to the way that we run.
And sometimes it's like, it's Thursday of tech. Everyone is really stressed out.
Right.
Give them some chocolate, put them on some coffee. Everybody will be happy.
Yep. See, so I'm not the only stage manager that likes new and different and found spaces. So what is there anything exciting about what you're doing? Sheena, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
At Washington National. So what is it? Clear cubes that are lit from the inside and a stage?
It's a mirrored Marley.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, usually we're like, oh, the floor is reflective. Lighting designers hate reflective floors. So it's mirrored. How does that work with all the scuff marks of dancing on Marley and the tape, though? Can you buy mirrored tape to tape down the Marley floor?
They'll probably.
That's my TD side. Like, how do you put that down? How do you clean? How do you get scuff marks off?
I was just going to say they back tape it, but that still would have a seam that could get caught. So I don't know.
Okay, so what? You're putting Marley is a dance floor for people who don't know. I'm not sure. I think Marley's just the brand. It's called Marley. Yeah. But it's a thin, rubbery down for dancers because very different surfaces to catch. Dancers, they have to be able to spin and move, but also not just slide across the floor. So how with that? I mean, is this an opera?
It's completely an opera. It's Anne Bogart is a director, and it's very minimalistic. And she and the maestra, Jane Glover, are working really hard to make sure that the story is coming clear in their acting and their singing, and it really making just use of the space with just themselves. So the story is long and drawn out, but bottom line, there's a sorceress who enchants people to make them her lover. And when she's tired of them, she casts them off. And in the real story, she makes them their trees or dogs or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm liking.
So currently she's enchanted this dude called Ruggiero. And his fiance is going to come save him. It becomes this multi-sided love thing. And his fiance shows up, but she can't travel as a woman, so she's dressed as a man. And then the sorceress's sister falls in love with the girl boy. It's very confusing.
It's opera.
Yeah. But it's all about love and power and love and power.
You said you have a female director and conductor. This nice. Is really awesome.
We've got our entire stage management team is female. The choreographer is a guy, so he's the only guy constant. No, the pianists are both men. Oh, you remember Emily from War Stories? She's assistant conducting us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or she's actually the cover conductor.
Oh.
So that just means she's not playing the piano. She's the cover conductor, as opposed to the assistant conductors who play the piano as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Sorry. Just had to throw that in.
Yeah.
Okay, so then because this piece is minimalistic and you have a reflective floor and some glowing cubes, how does that work with telling the story?
Well, they're not doing it as in a realistic fashion, and they're objects.
Okay.
The terminology that Anne's using is cast-off lovers.
Okay.
So they're there, they're dejected, they really want to get back in her good graces, but they're not at this point, because she's got her eyeballs on somebody else.
She's glowing... cubes work? Are they all like battery operated, or are you tracking cables all over the place?
No, these are actually bought off the shelf things that they've rewired apparently to give them some more power, but they're remotely controlled. They're going to be controlled through the dimmer.
Wow.
So there'll be it could be a nightmare. I don't know how this is happening. So far we had to label them 20 cubes A through T so that they could be patched through the dimmer. So when it's time to call cues, they'll know which cube is going to turn off.
Oh,
that sounds like fun paperwork for you to do.
It's so far for us in rehearsal, it's been okay, because it could have been horrendous in terms of, wait, we need to make sure cube B lands in this spike mark. No, that's cue over there.
Yeah.
So it's been relatively easy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But they're controlled with the color, so you can infinitely scroll through just like a scroller, and you can pick whatever you want.
Interesting.
Right.
So how many people are on this production?
We have the calling stage manager, that is Laura Krause. I don't know if you know her. And then we have two assistants and one production assistant. So there's... Nice. And then the assistant director of the stage management team, because she sticks around after opening to make sure things continue on or to do put-ins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Is this the first time you've worked with this company?
No, I actually first decided not to go back to CCM. So that...
That's a good way of putting it.
So Cindy twins done being entertained by CCM. She has so far chosen to go job by job and not be a house person. I'm a house person. I the Norris. I'm full time there and I do shows. Are you one of the ones you travel around and do show by show and always looking for the next contract?
Pretty much. I like working at the National. It's a good culture for me right now. I enjoy coming out here. So what I like to do is when they say, are you interested in coming back next season? Yes. And I'd love to be on two of their shows. And the two shows that I would most like to work on. And then whatever they offer me, I accept usually, as long as I don't have some other conflict. And then I can just fill in other shows if I'm lucky enough to find stuff that doesn't overlap.
Like when Cindy has shows on top of each other and like figure that out, or she has no shows. So how does that, because I don't have to do it because I work as a house position. How do you, like, are you always sending out resumes? I guess, is we sending out resumes? Are you always talking? Like, how do you find the next show? And is the next show, or is the next show 6 months from now? Like, how do you juggle that schedule of always not?
Because I have a pension, so I don't have to struggle with if I don't have anything coming next month.
That is very helpful.
Yes. But for example, the way this Philadelphia thing came around, I was working in Madison and I got a text from Lisa Anderson saying, hey, what are you doing in September? And so it was word of mouth. And I have to tell you that, so I came out, I said, mentioned earlier that I worked at Castleton, and I had gotten an offer to be an apprentice at Washington National Opera. And every single show, while I was at Castleton, I managed to get hired to do a show with Atlanta Opera. And everything I've worked on since then has been directly because I knew somebody associated with one of those three places.
That's excellent. Yeah. People like you pass you on. I feel like that's how he has gotten a number of jobs, because so-and-so said, hey, I can't do it, but Cindy can do it. And they send her over to that show.
Exactly.
I still apply for some jobs, but the last couple jobs I got, even though I applied for them, I got the job because I are somebody who was there or had a, you know, somebody knew somebody who could recommend, like, would search for jobs and apply and send in my resume and stuff. It just kind of made it easier once they saw my resume to get the interview and get the job, because I had the connection already.
Right.
So there were a few jobs that, like, they called me up, but yeah, it's not like I just sit back and wait for them all to come to me.
Yeah. 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 Not to say that I sit around and if they
that's
don't
what Tracy does. Me. Tracy just sits and waits for people to call us.
You don't want to call me. I don't want to come. No.
It doesn't matter. I'll work on the shows that want me. That'd be great.
I'm always looking online. I'm always looking. And as soon as I see something, I send out a resume that I think it will work. And
so let's do one more question. And this is my Stacey's favorite question. And I know you actually have an answer for this one, but it's your experience or a story of twins. And I know you've worked with other twins. You're our first one that's actually worked with other twins in the theater world.
Yes. When it was the early days, my days at Washington National was probably my first job as an ASM there. And I remember I was working with Lynn Kronicki.
Kronicki anyway, is from
I've
Greece.
I've heard of them.
There are actually three sisters, and they're all stage managers.
So, yeah.
But two of them are twins. And so I was working with Lynn, and I was on stage, and we were having this conversation. And then she came back on stage and I continued on with this conversation until I realized that she had changed her clothes.
Did she just follow along and answer your questions?
She just kind of stood there and waited. Oh, you're Jill.
Both working on the show, or she was just stopping by? Or
yeah, she was just stopping by. But... And I, you know, pleased enough that when we did the ring cycle or whatever last year, whenever it was, that I did get to work with the both of them. We were together on the same show. So it was kind of fun.
Oh, that's really was that for ask questions too, and which one's which and trying to figure them out?
Well, those of us who were in the office was fine because they've lived apart long enough, like you two, I think, that they're telling signs that you can probably tell who you're talking to. But the crew guys who hadn't seen one for a while, and they're just like, wait, no, stop. Who are you?
No, yeah, we
don't always plan to do it. Sometimes it just happens. Like, you know, well, it just doesn't usually come up in conversation. Like, hey, by the way, do you have an identical person? No, you got a sister? Yeah. But yeah, it just happens.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. We're going to try to get, I'm going to try to reach out to them at some point and try to get them on the podcast because I'm super excited about it.
Oh,
but
totally. I'll connect you if you want me to.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Shoot an email to both of us or all of us and
try
to get them on.
Five people, you know, because even like there's like, I wonder how it is Like, does the sister who is not the twin look like the twins?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a family resemblance, but not the same.
Not identical. Yeah.
No.
That's good.
Interesting. Still would be cool, because we don't...
Yeah.
Our brother did not go to theater. He comes to see our shows occasionally.
Rusty.
Oh, yeah, he was out there in Philly with you guys.
He bought everybody drinks.
He's had no choice but to participate or at least acknowledge the art's existence and patronize it occasionally. So,
well, thank you so much, Tracy. We do want to say, I think we're going to release this right before your show. So is it November 4th through the 19th?
That's right.
And we will, when we post this to the podcast, to our Facebook page, we'll put up a link there. So if people want to get tickets and come see what sounds like a really interesting show, thanks so much for chatting with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Stacey, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, you too, through, a picture on Skype. I've heard about you, Cindy, since she was at CCM. So it's great to
finally
get to talk to people.
thank you so much, Tracy, and thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Twins Talk Theater. If you would like more, visit our website at twinstalktheater.podbean.com or on Facebook at Twins Talk Theater. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. Also, give us a review on iTunes and tell us what you like about the show.